The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll get back to conference championship weekend in just a bit. But Stu, I had a realization yesterday, and it's something that, right, it shouldn't have taken me that long to realize, but the NFL season is almost coming to an end. And it's so disappointing because I'm reading right some of the NBA news today. At least you get a little drama with Jimmy Butler walked out of Heat shoot-around this morning, according to Shams Charania, after being informed the team is planning not to start him, with Haywood and Highsmith starting moving forward, sources tell ESPN. And now they are, what, suspending Jimmy Butler indefinitely? So it's like you'll look at this. It's like, all right, that's how we're going to start the NBA coverage really this year on the show. Because outside of Victor Wembanyama, we really haven't talked much NBA this year because the players really don't give a rat's ass about the regular season product. But when the football season ends, right, you do a week all football post-Super Bowl, then basketball picks up. And really, football, since it's now become a 365-day-out-of-the-year sport, you're not that far away from the combine. You're not that far away from the NFL draft, free agency too. College football is always in the mix now as well with the second transfer portal window opening on up. So there's always things to talk about when it comes to the NFL. But you always know that there's those summer months, which I take a lot of vacation in the summer. I don't like to take off during the football season. I save most of my vacation for the summer, where I try to take off like every Friday in the summer. You know, I learned that trick from our old pal, Damon Amendolara, because I just don't like missing shows in football season because on a national network, our bread and butter is NFL and college football. So in the summer, though, I always think if you're a good talk show host, you should be able to entertain in the summer, right? And I have no problem being able to entertain in the summer. I sometimes think when you really have like no sports to talk about, that's sometimes what makes for the most fun and memorable shows. And you could do like a lot of bits and fun stuff in the summer. We always make that joke, Mount Rushmore sports talk radio segments, or like, what movie are you going to talk about? Things like that. But, you know, with how many ways you could consume us and other of our great shows on the network, whether it's one of your local Infinity affiliates, SiriusXM now on channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and also streaming on YouTube, I think the unique part about YouTube is, yes, you could listen to this show and you could call the show at 855-212-4227 and get on the air. You could tweet me or message me on Instagram like many people do, or Facebook, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B, and we could read those messages or interact on the air. But our YouTube chat has a live feed, and you have people that are there and they're constantly chatting. And I think that's like a unique way to interact with people, and it's a fun, unique community, even though it's not our entire listening audience. But it's nice to talk to people on a daily basis that consume our show on a daily basis. So, shows that stream on YouTube on our network, Maggie and Perloff do. I know Hickey does. Obviously, we do. And Shep does now on the weekends as well. So, you know, JR also as well, just since the start of the new year. And I don't think I forgot anybody else. And if I did, it's not doing so intentionally. But I'll tell you, I like to chime in from time to time, right? Because I could stir the pot a little bit. And I think it's always healthy for a network when you have shows talking about other shows, or something funny happens on another show, or something that you found a little weird or bizarre happened on another show. I always thought it's fair game in radio to play that and react to it, right? Even though our audience is different, you know, a lot of same people listen to our show as Maggie and Perloff's show. There's a lot of different people because we're on two different times of the day. It's whatever convenient for you to consume us. So, anytime I'm in a YouTube chat, I'm impressed with one person. And I know there's a lot of people there that are constantly there, like Two-Tone Tony, Drunkle Sam. But Daly, I think, could be the most loyal Infinity Sports Network listener that we have. Because in every chat, he's there. So I'm proposing this idea, and we'll see if I remember it, and we'll see if we end up paying off on this idea. I wonder if, like, we do a trophy or we make some sort of award and we'll figure out how to do it. Whether, like, you call the show, there could be different metrics, you know, on YouTube chat, you know, you got to give us some on-air content as well, because ultimately we have to connect to more than just the YouTube chat. But I think we should do like fan of the year, right? We always do like these award shows, and we always talk about like who's the best MVP of the, like who's the MVP of the NFL, or, you know, you could do, or like we get recognized or other shows get recognized. I think it's time to reward the listening audience. And I think fan of the year for our show would be fascinating. Like Jake Dyer has done a good job. He sent me a nice Ashton Jeanty sweatshirt. I'm not saying you need to send me gifts, to be clear. You know, Daly's on every YouTube chat, and I admire how much he loves the network. You know, so I think there could be something there. We may need to gather our brains together. Samter, Stu, and yours truly, and probably need more brains out of there, just to be honest, because I don't think those are three powerful brains. And come up with some award for the summer for the listener. Maybe we could do that annually to give some thanks and show some appreciation to the people that listen to us and really the P1 listeners of this radio program. Anyway, and if, by the way, you make fun of Samter in the YouTube chat, I don't think that hurts your case, by the way, if you're trying to suck up and win some points. So right now, I have a question in front of me. Is Mahomes doing to the NFL what Michael Jordan did to the NBA, what Tiger Woods did to golf, and also what Tom Brady did to the NFL as well? Like, honestly, yeah. He's a standard, and you could talk about how many championships, major championships Tiger has won, how many NBA championships Michael Jordan has won, and how many championships Tom Brady has won. But also, I look at it as how many other all-time greats have he prevented? If you think about it that way too, and how you change the legacies of others. And what Mahomes does, what Tom Brady did, what Michael Jordan did, and also what Tiger Woods did, is it doesn't matter. And right, Brady, MJ, team sport, Tiger, individual sport. But what stood out to me the most about Tiger Woods is when he showed up on a major championship Sunday, right, in red, and he was either in the lead or a few strokes behind the lead, you knew somebody else was going to crumble, and he was going to find a way to advance. Even in that run after the scandal, where I never thought he was going to win a major championship again, look how many guys crumbled when he won his last major championship, and that still resonated all those years later. Even when Tiger was fractured, even when Tiger was damaged, even when he looked as vulnerable as ever, and people thought he was never going to win again, you still had people, even with the whole change of time, right, because of the weather. And I slept on the couch here. I was doing the weekend overnights then. I slept on the couch. I forget who I was pre-taping with, right? You know, not to pat myself on the back for the tremendous work ethic that I had. But I slept on the couch. I got up that morning, and I would not leave until that major at Augusta, the Masters, was done with. Right, I'm a huge Tiger fan. But even then, after all those years, after his major fall from grace, maybe the biggest fall from grace we've ever seen from an athlete, to still have the fear and people fear you, that's what the all-time greats do. And you could look at other guys, right, when it's as long as Tiger and it's as long as Tom Brady, right? And Michael, we know, went to baseball, then came back, and other guys had their moments. But you look at Tiger and you look at Brady, sure, eventually other guys got theirs. Like eventually Phil got his, right? And Rory got his. And you go on and on and on with the others. For football, eventually Peyton Manning got his. Drew Brees got his. Aaron Rodgers got his. But you look at both. You look at, like, if you want to go through all those four guys and really do three, because you have to isolate Mahomes because we're still talking about the story now. Right, Brady's career is over. Tiger, he'll still play here and there, but his career is practically over. MJ, we know his career is over. When I think of Michael Jordan, I just think of a killer on a basketball court. Right? No one could beat him. Once he got one, you could not beat him. And even if you thought you had him on the ropes, that's right where he wanted you. And he did such a great job at mentally just frying everybody else and taking the little things that no one else would think are slights and using them as motivation and believing them to be true even when they weren't true. You look at Tiger, It's that ability in an individual sport for one person. Didn't matter if he was playing on one leg, doesn't matter if he's playing in a bad back, doesn't matter if he was three strokes off the lead on a major championship Sunday or three strokes in the league. You always knew he was winning. You look at Tom Brady, right? Didn't always have the best teams. Didn't always have the greatest wide receivers. His team didn't always spend the most in free agency. It didn't matter if you're down 10 to the LOB. It didn't matter if you were down 28-3 to the Falcons in the Super Bowl. It didn't matter if you're going up against the greatest show on turf. None of that stuff mattered. Because that dude just has one of the greatest winning abilities I've ever seen out of an individual. And he found a way to galvanize a team and get the most out of that team. I thought still Brady to this day, this is an unpopular opinion. People will say, oh, what's the most impressive Brady season ever? And obviously you could pick from any of the seven Super Bowls. You could pick even the 16-0 season, 18-1 season, right? You want to talk about a 505-yard performance in the Super Bowl up against the Eagles where he lost? Like, there's so many. But I'll say, even though he didn't win a championship that year, one of the most impressive Brady seasons ever was 2006 when he had Rishea Caldwell and Doug Gabriel as his wide receivers. And right, Rob Gronkowski wasn't even a thought of making the NFL yet. It was 2006. Randy Moss wasn't on that team yet. And Tom Brady almost took that Patriot team to a Super Bowl. They blew the game. They were up 18 at halftime. So, like, you look at the all-time great athletes, and you look at a guy like Tiger, and you also look at Michael Jordan, and you look at Tom Brady. It's not only how many they get, and you see it with Mahomes right now. He's already got three. He could get four in 2 weeks. Think about that start of just a ridiculous NFL career. Think about this. Me as a Patriot fan, I never thought we'd see another Tom Brady again. Never thought it. When he got seven, I'm like, at four, I thought, all right, he's got to get another one. No one could win five. And then, oh, yeah, really, now no one could win six. Oh, yeah, no one could win seven. And this dude Mahomes already got three. And, like, at least Montana had a long run, multiple decades, where everyone considered him the GOAT. And now you have Mahomes, still got a long ways to go. Brady still beat him twice. AFC Championship game and a Super Bowl. But Mahomes could have one trump card over Brady. And that's winning back-to-back-to-back championships. As great as Tom Brady was, he never three-peated. And that's not a knock or slight on Brady, but it just enhances Mahomes. But you look at, as I've been saying, all the greats, the Hall of Fame players, and I know we don't really look at it that way in golf, but you get the point, with Tiger, with Michael and Brady that they prevented, and now you see what Mahomes is doing. And hey, if Mahomes goes plays another 10 years, here's a hot take. And I hope this is true. There will be other quarterbacks to win championships, right? There will be. Right? You know, Brady stopped Mahomes twice. Matthew Stafford got a championship the year where Joe Burrow beat Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship game. But you look at the trio of quarterbacks right now. Like, Lamar Jackson's going to the Hall of Fame. Joe Burrow, as long as he stays healthy, which has been a big if, he'll be a Hall of Fame player. Josh Allen is a Hall of Fame player. Those guys are Hall of Famers. They're not like, they may be Hall of Famers. No, no, no. They will be Hall of Famers. Like, I think Phillip Rivers is a heck of a quarterback. I think Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer. Phillip Rivers is going to have to wait some time. And that's a guy, right, whenever his team would run into the Patriots, they lose. And they were the more talented team twice. You know, you go back to 06, that was such a talented team. They were home. You go back to Brady's last Super Bowl in New England, that was arguably a better, well-rounded team, and they lost in Foxborough. They got blown out. But that's what the all-time greats do. They prevent others from winning. But it's crazy. And I know it's only like a 7-8-year run, how we're sitting here right now, and not one time Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, one of those three, not all three, one of those three, none of them have a Lombardi trophy. Like, think about where we are right now. Think about it. You're in a spot right now where it's not even up for debate who the four best quarterbacks are in the NFL. Maybe the order. But no one can make the case that Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Patrick Mahomes aren't top four quarterbacks in this league. They're the four best quarterbacks in the league. You could rank them however you want. You know, Mahomes has to be one. Two, three, four, you can rank them however you want. And not one of those guys have been able to win a championship. Like, that's wild that we all know who the four best quarterbacks are and only the best quarterback has a championship. And I'm sure that will change through time. But I can't sit here and give you tangible hope if you're a Bills fan, because now you lost four times to them. And it wasn't your quarterback's fault yesterday. I can't tell you, Lamar Jackson, that yeah, you're definitely going to get through. Just like I can't tell the Bills they're definitely going to get through, because last year you were at home in the AFC Championship game and the Chiefs weren't spectacular in offense in that game and you guys lost. Like Joe Burrow, sure, he beat Mahomes in an AFC title game in Kansas City. Then the Bengals lost one in the AFC Championship game in a close game. But now can they get back to the postseason? Because it's been two long years that they haven't been able to do so. So just to see how many great quarterbacks we have in the league right now in terms of those four, the big four. And it's wild how Mahomes keeps on gunning everybody down and giving no one else hope. And that's why the Eagles, they got to give us some hope. They got to give the rest of us hope. Because if the Eagles can't do it, and Stink said it, Mark Schlereth, outside of quarterback and coach, they have the advantage on every single unit on the field. Every single unit. Offensive line, wide receiver, tight end, secondary, right, linebacker. That's what he said. That's NFL analyst, three-time Super Bowl champion, Mark Schlereth. Besides quarterback and besides coach. And the fact that Mahomes and Reed have put a dent in Brady and Belichick, coming from a Patriot fan, they have put a dent in Brady and Belichick. It doesn't mean that Mahomes and Reed are better than Brady and Belichick. I'm not going there yet. That's too premature. As great as Mahomes and Reed have been in this run, but the fact it's even a conversation just shows you how special this is right now. Because when we saw Brady leave the Patriots, there were people rejoicing. Oh, it's over. Oh, everyone else could have hope. Right? You're telling me there's a chance for my team. With the boogeyman no longer there in New England. And there's a new boogeyman. And Andy Reid likes these cheeseburgers, so he's a more friendly boogeyman than Bill Belichick. And he's a larger fella. I think we all like a jolly fella. And then you got this guy, Patrick Mahomes, who he's more athletic than Tom Brady. And just like Brady, it doesn't matter that you think you got him. Because when you think you got him, let's be real, you don't got him. Because until that dude is done, until that dude lost the game, and there's 0 seconds remaining on that clock, and even then you have to say, was that real? Did that just happen? Did we just beat him? You haven't beat him. And that's a problem for the rest of the league. And to put Mahomes already in right relationship or the same zip code as Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, shows you how damn special Patrick Mahomes is. Coming on back, we'll do No Huddle Offense next. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
Touchdowns, sacks, upsets, and last-minute heroics. Another NFL Sunday is in the books, and we've got you covered with the biggest plays and sound bites from another wild week in the National Football League. It's time for No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show.
Alrighty, welcome back in. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. It's time for a little No Huddle Offense. So let's start off with Josh Allen. This is Buffalo Bills. We're trying to say the fourth time. Hopefully we could have it be a charm as they were in Kansas City going up against the Chiefs. Josh Allen's stats from the game. 22 of 34, 237 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Here's the craziest stat, though. In his last 12 playoff games, Josh Allen has 25 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. And that dude hasn't won a Super Bowl, let alone even reach a Super Bowl. I have the comparison for Josh Allen. Josh Allen is the guy that does 95% of the work for a group project in college. And then you need one or two other people to do the other 5%. Right? You just need to submit the documents that I put together. You just need to present the document, and then those two bozos don't show up. Oh, I forgot to submit the paper. Oh, I forgot to just do the one-minute presentation explaining what we're doing. And through that, you could fail. But how Josh Allen has those numbers in his last 12 playoff games, and forget not having a ring, hasn't been able to get to one lousy GD Super Bowl, is just crazy. And I look back from this one, the blame game, it's on Sean McDermott for me, and it's also on Dalton Kincaid. Dalton Kincaid has to catch that ball at the end. I'm not saying it's easy, but you got two hands on it. And Sean McDermott, there's too many miscues with your football team. Whether it's on third down, Elijah and Samaje Perine being wide open, chasing points too early in the game, not having James Cook on the field, and when you have him on the field, not giving the ball more, just inexcusable. There was too much there with Sean McDermott in the game, where I would say Sean McDermott was problem number one, and then I'm not a 1A guy, so I'll say two, was Dalton Kincaid. James Cook, 134 total yards, 2 touchdowns. Matt Collins got me some money at plus 600, 3 catches for 73 yards in the game with that touchdown. Khalil Shakir, 6 catches, 46 yards. Mahomes, 18 of 26, 245 yards, a touchdown, 2 rushing touchdowns as well. So 3 total touchdowns in the game. Kareem Hunt had a rushing touchdown. Xavier Worthy, 6 catches for 85 yards and a score. And Travis Kelce, let me tell you this, bet his anytime touchdown in the Super Bowl. 2 catches for only 19 yards. You know he'll show up on the big stage. But let's get to some highlights. Here are the Bills getting stopped, even though I thought they got it on 4th and 1, even though it should have been 1st down after the 3rd down play, or at least closer than 4th and 1. But here were the Bills up 22-21 in the 4th quarter driving, and the Chiefs turned this game around, I guess also with the help of the officials.
4th down and about a yard. Again, he's under center, and Allen gets the snap, and again, he is trying to push, and again, the big red wall is right there. I don't know that he was able to gouge his way for the Buffalo 1st down. It looked like they had stopped him.
This is interesting. The ref at the top seems like he has the 1st down, but the ref at the bottom seems like it's a little short.
They tried to shove him from behind, and right now, the ruling is he could not get across. He was barging ahead, and he could not get the 1st down. I still don't think he got it, though, Dev.
And that's courtesy of Kevin Harlan and Devin McCourty. Now, I'll cut Harlan some slack there, right? Because he's probably watching the TV replay, doing the radio, and I'm sure they have monitors as well. The angles that they were showing, though, on TV were horrible. And then when they do the overhead, it's like, oh, he probably got it. You know, when I'm finding out on Twitter first before the game that it looks like he got it compared to on the TV broadcast, that's a problem. And I thought TV was horrible at the end, too. When Dalton Kincaid drops that ball, they barely showed it. And you know what? Dalton Kincaid probably happy today because eventually, right? I'm not saying he's happy today, to be clear. But it could have been a whole lot worse because you know how ugly and nasty the vitriol that comes his way, which is just ridiculous. You know, Mark Andrews dealt with the same thing. But, right, you blame someone for the loss, and that's part of being a public figure. But the Mark Andrews thing was so obvious because you could see it. He was there. He just dropped the ball. Because of the, like, rainbow throw falling away that was made by Josh Allen, you didn't get a good look in the moment. And eventually you saw it, but it was 40 minutes later. But if you had that intense rush right away, yeah, this would have been a I'm sure it's already lonely for Dalton Kincaid, but it would have been lonelier today. Anyway, let's hear a second highlight. That was courtesy of Kevin Harlan and Devin McCourty on Westwood One. Now let's hear Mitch Holthus, the legendary Mitch Holthus, Kansas City, on the Chiefs radio network. Because once you get a stop like that, even though you got a little hump with the officials, you knew Patrick Mahomes is going to make you pay on a touchdown run.
1st down play. Mahomes keeps it on an RPO at the 5. Gets a lead block. He goes into the end zone near side. Touchdown, Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes, a 16-yard run. His 2nd rushing touchdown of the game.
All righty, Stu. Let's go with the Chiefs question first. Then we'll get to the Bills question.
All right, starting with the Chiefs, how many more years can the Chiefs remain at this level?
as long as you have Patrick Mahomes. Now, when can maybe the Chiefs go through some changes where maybe that will impact the quarterback? I would say when Andy Reid retires. I know he signed a 5-year contract extension, I think going back to this past year, this past offseason. So that's like a possibility. And then I don't know how much longer Travis Kelce is going to play. You know, I said it last year during the season that Jason Kelce was going to retire at the end of the year. And I said, I don't think Travis Kelce is that far behind him. I'm not saying this is going to be Travis Kelce's final game, but I do think that's going to be a storyline here. And Travis Kelce is still under contract for one more season. So I think he'll be back next year. But after that, can I see him playing that much longer? I would be surprised. So if he wins the Super Bowl, do you go out on top, right? And then you have the podcast with Jason and you'll be a media sensation. And you already are, but more and more spots and also with the connection to Taylor Swift. So I think Kelce will be back next year. But if you tell me he retired after the game, I wouldn't be stunned. And those are some alterations, obviously. If you take Kelce and you take Reed out of the picture down the road, then you'll wonder, okay, who's the next guy coming on in? How he gets along with Mahomes? You know, how much talent you got to replace? Things like that. But for the foreseeable future, I'm not saying he's going to the Super Bowl every year, but the Chiefs will be in the AFC Championship game until someone eliminates them prior. And until that happens, I'm going to be shocked if it doesn't happen for at least the next 5 years. Like that's what I'll at least say to answer that question. All right, let's get to the Bills question.
All right, speaking of the Bills, do you think their Super Bowl window is still open?
It's still open because you'll be there and you'll be in those games because you have Josh Allen, but I think it's time to get rid of Sean McDermott. And I said go get Bill Belichick. I would get rid of Sean McDermott for one coach and one coach only right now. The coaches that are available, I know he's at UNC, so people will say he's not available, but it's Bill Belichick. Sean McDermott did a great job. That Bills team didn't make the playoffs for 17 straight seasons. He comes in, all they do is make the postseason. He's had moments to redeem himself. He's a good coach, but I also think he's reached his apex with the Buffalo Bills. All righty, let's go to Commanders and Eagles. This game was a blowout in favor of Philadelphia, and Saquon Barkley down 3-0 set the tone on the first play, offensive play for the Philadelphia Eagles with a 60-yard touchdown run. Here is Merrill Reese on the Eagles Radio Network, Sports Radio 94. WIP!
Hurts under center on first down. He pitches it out to Barkley. Takes off to the outside. He's at the 50. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. He's going to go. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Saquon Barkley. 60 yards on his opening touch.
What was that said at the end?
Opening touch.
Oh, touch. Gotcha. I was like, what did Mike Quick say right at the end? I for some reason, I couldn't make it out in my headsets. And then let's hear Ian Eagle on Westwood 1. This is when the route was really on, 34-15. Jalen Hurts on a 9-yard touchdown run.
Philly looking for more. Hurts design run. Left side. Hurts to the 5. Cuts it to the outside. Touchdown. The Eagles are piling it on. Jalen Hurts, second of the day on the ground. Philadelphia doing the gritty, and they open up a 33-15 lead.
And let's get to the Commanders question here, but before we get to that, I'll give you some stats. Jaden Daniels, 29-48, 255 passing yards and a passing touchdown with a pick. 48 rushing yards with the rushing touchdown. Zach Ertz, 11 catches for 104 yards. Terry McLaurin, 3 for 51 yards and a score. And then they lost 3 fumbles as a team. The turnovers were the biggest story, I thought, on why this game got really ugly. We know how great the Eagles are, but too many turnovers for the Washington Commanders. Stu, what's the Commanders question here?
All right. Do you think the Commanders can take the next step in 2025, or will they plateau kind of like the Texans did this year?
Do I think they're going to be back to the NFC Championship game, so then the next step would be getting to a Super Bowl? I'm going to go out on a limb. I like Jaden Daniels a lot. I like what the Commanders are building. It's great to see that fan base back. But for me to sit here and just say, yeah, even though the NFC is more wide open compared to the AFC where you have all these great quarterbacks and they're all chasing Mahomes and no one really has any luck outside of the 1 year where Joe Burrow did it, I'm going to say that if you tell me the Commanders take that next step and get to the Super Bowl, I'd be more surprised than expecting it. So they could take a little bit of a step back. I'm not even going to sit here and say they're definitely getting back to the NFC Championship game last year. Like at least the Texans, right? They didn't have a great regular season. They still won a playoff game. They got back to the same spot, but the Commanders went farther than them, so it makes it tougher to then take that next step. So, no, I think the Commanders will be good next year, but I'm not saying that they're going to a Super Bowl right now. And then on the Eagles side, Saquon Barkley, 15 carries, 118 rushing yards, not one, not two, but three touchdowns. A.J. Brown channeled his inner excellence, six catches for 96 yards and a touchdown. Dallas Goedert, seven for 85. I'll tell you right now, two Super Bowl bets I like the tight ends. I like Kelsey to get in the end zone. I like Dallas Goedert to get in the end zone right now. Dallas Goedert has quietly had a very good postseason. And the Eagles set a Super Bowl era playoff record with seven rushing touchdowns. It was so good that even Will Shipley, I saw their third string running back, was on Good Morning America earlier this morning, which is crazy. And Jalen Hurts, 20 of 28, 246 yards, a passing touchdown, 16 rushing yards with three touchdowns as well. So what a day for Jalen Hurts. What a day for the Philadelphia Eagles. And what is the Eagles question here, Stu?
Yeah, Nick Sirianni, do you think he's a top three coach in the NFL?
It's a good question. It's a very good question. So Andy Reid and Sean McVay are 1-2. Now, three for a guy that probably wouldn't even have been on anyone's top 10 list. I want to say no. You know, I think Jim Harbaugh is a better coach, but first year back in the NFL. Tomlin and Harbaugh right now, I can't put Sirianni in front of him. I could put Sirianni in front of him, I mean. I'm going to say no, but you can make the case for it. You really can. I'm going to say no because it just doesn't feel right. Like, Sirianni, let me ask you this. Sirianni or Kyle Shanahan? Because both have gotten out of two Super Bowls. So who would you rather have there?
At this point, I'd say Sirianni. Uh-oh.
I sent Sirianni and my Siri went off. And then it said, do you want to call Kyle or Mike Shanahan? Either. Which one wants to come on the show? So, Sirianni will be in everyone's top 10 list next year. I'm curious how high he will go on the list. I can't say, though. I'll say Dan Campbell's the third best coach right now. That would just be my instincts right there. But also, he's never been to a Super Bowl. But you look at the building that Campbell did was very impressive to me in Detroit and just taking a franchise down and out to spots that they haven't been to in a very long time. But, man, that's it's a great question, and it's a close one. Alrighty, talking about coaches, we know the Eagles won't need a new coach next year, but there are six teams that have already made new hires. We have heard from some of those coaches today. You'll hear from Pete Carroll, Aaron Glenn, and also you'll hear from the Jones family. You know, did Brian Schottenheimer even say anything in his introductory press conference? Or was it just the Puppet Masters and Stephen and Jerry Jones? We'll get to all that on the other side. Update time first. Here's Zach. Alrighty, it's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Francois in Dallas says, Zach, what's one word to describe the Cowboys hiring of Brian Schottenheimer? You could submit a question by tweeting at INS Sports Net or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stu, what's your one word when it comes to the reaction of hiring Brian Schottenheimer? I have mine.
Boring.
That's a good one. Mine is uninspiring. It's the same old crap with the Cowboys. It doesn't inspire me. You know, I look back at this and I just think that this is the ultimate Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones puppet kind of hire. That's what it is to me. By the way, I just got a message. It's crazy with my roots in Philly. How many people that I haven't talked to in years will reach out to me now for Super Bowl tickets? It started last week. Like, hey, if the Eagles win, and one of my closest friends in the world is an Eagles fan. So like him saying, I want to go, one of my closest friends, I get it. But the amount of people that come out of the woodworks, you know, not that this guy is a very kind guy that just texted me, you know, very good person. I don't even, the last message I have with this person's from 2016 that I just got. 2016.
They've won a Super Bowl since then.
It's just amazing. I appreciate people trying, but yeah, you know what? Let me just pull 30 Super Bowl tickets out of my ass, right? Like, I turned down 2 Super Bowl tickets 2 weeks ago because I thought I could find cheaper Super Bowl tickets. And I don't want to deal with, like, the onus of selling tickets. It's like a mess and all that stuff. So I turned them down. Now I'm looking for 2 more so me and my buddy could go to the game. And I think I'll be able to gather them. But if I don't, I'm not disappointed. Like, we're in New Orleans the whole week. So technically my flight's supposed to be Monday night after the Super Bowl. So if I have to change that and leave Saturday, like, I'm good. I'm fine not going to the game. But it's amazing the amount of people that will reach out to you. And I go, like, okay, I was friends with you like 10 years ago. It's the no shame people have is amazing to me. It's absolutely amazing. Alrighty, so my word is uninspiring, like I said. Let's hear from Jerry Jones. This is Jerry Jones on hiring Brian Schottenheimer.
We know what osmosis is, and we know what Shotty grew up around. Not just from that, but we knew, frankly, from the standpoint of Shotty, those X hairs crossed. Shotty might never have been in our mirror our view had he not joined us to be with Mike as a consultant 3 years ago and had he been a coach.
I guess osmosis is correct when he's talking about that. Shotty, 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 Shotty. Is he saying Shotty like a girl or like Shotty, Shotty? What is he? I know what he's saying, but jeez, that's something. Jerry Jones knows the risk of hiring Brian Schottenheimer.
Now I get my proverbial ass kicked over needing people in my comfort zone. If you don't think I can't operate out of my comfort zone, you're so wrong. It's unbelievable. This is as big a risk as you could take. As big a risk as you could take. No head coaching experience. You've just heard him reference his osmosis, his family.
Oh,
anybody in this room that doesn't believe the apple doesn't go far from the tree has missed it someplace down the road.
Could we just talk like regular people? Who, when talking about football, mentions the word osmosis? And I get why you're using it, and I get what it means. Trust me, there's a lot of words that people use that I don't know what they mean. And there's a lot of people who are more intelligent than me. I get it. You know, I'm just a big dummy sometimes. But, like, talk like actual men talk. The osmosis. What are we doing? All righty, let's hear Stephen Jones. I don't know if this is going to sound as great, but it looked really funny. I'll tell you how it looked in just a bit. But here's Stephen Jones on the Cowboys Super Bowl drought.
Obviously, we're also evaluating where it didn't go right, you know, in terms of, this drought that people say we're in terms of a championship game or a Super Bowl.
So he did this drought, and I haven't watched the full press conference, and he did the air quotes, like making fun of it, like this drought. If I was in that room, and I'm not afraid to ask those questions in those press conferences, it's actually very fun when you do so. I'd be like, hey, Steven, Zach Gelb here from... The Star Gazette. I don't even know what the heck the papers are in Dallas. Is that one the Star Gazette? Fort Worth Star Telegram. You know, Zach Gelb here from the Fort Worth Star Telegram. Steven, earlier you said this drought. You did air quotes. Do you not think you guys are in a drought? You guys haven't won a Super Bowl or been to an NFC Championship game in, I don't know, 30 years. That's a drought. Like, what else did you want to call it? So, the Jones making it, just an ass out of themselves. I'm trying to clean that up there. Aaron Glenn, pumped up to take the Jets job. Let's listen up to Aaron Glenn.
Players that's here now, put your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride. Put your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride. Listen, there are going to be some challenges. But with challenges becomes opportunity, gets opportunity. But here's what I do know. We're the freaking New York Jets, so we're built for this shit. Listen, I want this job. I interviewed for a number of them, but I wanted this job.
That's Rex. That's Rex Ryan. In Aaron Glenn's body, right? That's Rex Ryan of 2025 featuring Aaron Glenn. That was awesome. I'm not even a Jet fan. I'd run through the wall for that guy. You knew Aaron Glenn was going to win the press conference. Now, can you do what Rex Ryan did and take the team to 2 AFC championship games? Or how about just a playoff appearance to start? And then maybe win a playoff game. But I like that energy from Aaron Glenn. Let's go to Pete Carroll. So a fan, and I'll tell you who the fan is in a bit, but he yelled out, Raiders, when Pete Carroll was getting introduced while he was talking to the media.
We do want to fill our stadium up with our guys. I know that we have a good draw for people from
Raiders!
Out of town. There you go. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, Mark, settle down a little bit. But it's real. This is a real challenge for us.
So that was Marshawn Lynch. Stu, you thought that was Mark Davis? Are you serious?
He said Mark. Like Mark Davis.
So Stu hasn't seen this clip, and Stu's laughter when I said that was Marshawn Lynch. Yeah, he's sitting in the back row. Raiders! Now, that was funny. And also, I wonder if Pete Carroll and Marshawn Lynch are, like, good. Because of the whole not giving the ball in the Super Bowl. Because that, like, I know it's Marshawn, so he's on a different scale than everybody else. That's, like, so disrespectful to do, but then it's Marshawn, so I think Marshawn gets a pass. Pete's like, oh, shut the bleep up. That's what that sounded like. But let's hear Liam Cohen trying to make a good first impression on the fans of Duval.
Jacksonville. The community. Duval.
Oh, no. One more time.
Jacksonville. The community. Duval.
Nails on a chalkboard.
Duval.
Ah! That's what I hear when I hear that.
Duval.
I know he coached at Kentucky, but... Whew. And I think that Jaguars job, outside of having to work with Shad Khan, is actually a decent job. Well, actually, Shad Khan will keep you forever. But he's just been a mess, only winning 30% of his games as an owner. But jeez. Duval. I don't know what's worse. Liam Cohen doing that or Jerry Jones talking about osmosis and justifying the hire of Shoddy. Oy, oy, oy. Alrighty, fun show today. Stu Samter, thank you. Act, thank you. Big thanks to Stink Mark Schlereth for joining us and each and every one of you. Forever you do consume our fine little radio program. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. Have a great Monday night, everybody. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Always give me a follow on Twitter, Instagram, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.